Well, good morning, and it's good to be back with you again. Thank you for the invitation to get to share God's word with you again today. You know, it's been a number of years ago now that I heard a story about a preacher man and his wife who were having their first child. And he was there in the waiting room at the hospital, and this was in the days before fathers were allowed to be in the delivery room with their wife. And he was out there in the waiting room, and he was just an absolute nervous wreck waiting for the news. And he was sitting there, and all of a sudden, those big double doors bursted open, and the doctor came through, and almost with his hands in the air, saying, "It's a miracle! It's a miracle! It's a miracle!" And the guy thought, "What happened back there? Did we have triplets or something? You know?" And he finally said to the doctor, "He said, tell me what happened? What went on?" And the doctor said, "Oh, your wife just gave birth to a baby girl." And he said, "Every time I see a baby born, I realize what a miracle it is." Now, certainly, indeed, that's true. Any birth is a miracle. And yet this morning, if you've looked there in your bulletins, you notice that I want to talk to you about three miracle births. For I want to talk to you about the natural birth. And certainly that's a miracle when you think of all that God does to bring a child into the world. It's a miracle, and it's a miracle that any of us really are here. But then I also want to talk to you about the virgin birth. That's a miracle. That's what Christmas really is all about, isn't it? It's about God putting on an earth suit and coming and dwelling among us, and his name is Emmanuel, God with us. But then I also want to visit with you about the new birth. And that too is a miracle. So we have the natural birth, the virgin birth, and the new birth. Now I heard Adrian Rogers, some of you have listened to Adrian Rogers on the radio, he's with the Lord now. But I heard Adrian Rogers, you know, he always has this wonderful little way of putting words together and all. He talked about these three births as being the sinner's birth, the Savior's birth, and the second birth, all starting with the letter S. So what I want to do is I just want us to look here in John chapter 3. So get your eyes there on John chapter 3, very familiar text. But in John chapter 3, it talks about all three of these births. The natural birth, the virgin birth, and the new birth. Or the sinner's birth, the Savior's birth, or the second birth. Now it begins there, as our brother read for us. It begins there. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, or as Adrian Rogers would have said, a high muckety muck. You ever hear him say that? A high muckety muck. He's one of those muckety mucks, you know, a big shot. He was one who oversaw all of the religion of Judaism. He perhaps sat on the council, the Sanhedrin, who ruled and made judgments over people and over the nation. Well, this man, this high muckety muck, came to Jesus by night. And he said to him, "Rabbi," and as I said, you're familiar with it, but he said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these," my Bible says, "signs." Yours, Don Red, said miracles. "No one can do these miracles that you do unless God is with you." So here's this ruler of the Jews. He comes to Jesus. What does he want to talk about? He wants to talk about miracles. We want to talk about, but what does Jesus start talking about? He rather than talks about miracles, but he does talk about miracles. He talks about births. He talks about births. For in verse 3, he said, "Most assuredly," or "verily, verily." You know, whenever you see those little words, "most assuredly," or "verily, verily," or "truly, truly," you know what he's saying? Listen up. Put your listening ears on. It's kind of like Charles Stanley. Some of you listen to Charles Stanley? You know, Charles Stanley, I think, says 30 different times in 30 minutes, "Listen, listen, listen." What Jesus would say is, truly, truly. Verily, verily. Listen up. Don't miss this. But this is such an important truth. I want you to get it. Now, what was the important truth that he didn't want them to miss? He said, listen up, for I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So listen, pay attention to that. And in verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, well, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born all over again? No, that would be quite a recycling project, wouldn't it? If we could go back and do it all over again? And yet Nicodemus knows, you can't do that. I'm old. It's impossible. So he has this real question, and Jesus answered it. He said, most assuredly, or verily, verily, or put your listening ears on, for I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh. He's talking about the natural birth or the sinner's birth. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And he's talking about the new birth or the second birth. And then he says in verse 7, don't marvel or don't be surprised or don't just stand there with your mouths open in surprise that I said to you, you must be born again. Now, three miracle births. They're all mentioned here, the natural birth, the virgin birth, and the new birth. Now certainly, the birth of any baby into the world, as I've already said, is a miracle. The births of all four of our children was a miracle. The births of all 12 of our grandchildren was a miracle. I think what the psalmist said, the psalmist said in Psalm 139, he said, we have been fearfully and wonderfully made. That's all of us have been. When I was being made in secret, being intricately or skillfully woven in my mother's womb. You know, it's an absolute miracle how each one of us got here and how we were so wonderfully fashioned. I looked up that word miracle in a thesaurus. That's just a phrase book. It gave these words, wonder, phenomenal, marvel, sensational, as synonyms. Listen, it's an absolute marvel. It's a sensation how you and I are here. You know, I don't understand how the evolutionist can look at the human life and say it just happened. That somehow we just showed up here without design or without a designer. It's an absolute miracle that we were born, that we're here on planet Earth. And yet here's Nicodemus, and he was born, number one, into the natural world. And Jesus is saying to him, but it's not enough just to be naturally born. We need more than that. Now, there were three things true of Nicodemus, and they're true of all of us. He was born, number one, into the natural world, but he was, number two, he was bound to the sinful world. Because to be naturally born is to be a descendant of Adam. And to be a descendant of Adam is to be born a sinner, separated from God, for your sins have separated between you and your God, and your iniquities have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. You see, when Adam acted independently and disobeyed God and ate of the forbidden fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, both he and Eve, they died right there on the spot. Oh, not physically. They began to die physically there, but they died spiritually. Right there on the spot. And as a result of that, they begin to live out of their self-sufficiency. They begin to live independently of God. They begin to live according to what they thought was good and evil. They lived in the bondage of limited human understanding rather than in the freedom of God's leading and understanding. And as physical born sons and daughters of Adam, that's how we all show up here on planet Earth. We all show up living in our own resources, living according to our own limited understanding. Paul said in Romans chapter 5? He said, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man's sin, Adam, death through sin, and so death, spiritual death, spread upon all men, for all have sinned. For as by one man's disobedience, by Adam's, many, meaning not just a few, but many or all were made sinners. Because you are a descendant of Adam, you showed up with the standard equipment, not only physically. You showed up with the physical standard equipment. You showed up on planet Earth with two eyes, two ears, a nose, a mouth, a liver, kidneys, a bladder. Those all came as standard equipment as a physical born son or daughter of Adam, right? Well, in the same way, when you showed up on Earth, planet Earth, you showed up with the spiritual characteristics of Adam. You showed up with a dead to God spirit. I often say you showed up as spiritual stillborns. Oh, you showed up with a body and soul that's very much alive to the world, but you showed up with a spirit that was dead to God. With a spirit that was unable to respond to God. With a spirit that didn't listen to what he had to say. Who was going his own way. Now you say, but that's not fair. Why should one man's choice affect me? I didn't vote for Adam. I didn't choose Adam. Well, just in the same way, I don't ever hear any of you ever complain that I got two eyes when I only wanted one eye. You know, I wanted one eye right there in the middle. Or nobody asked me whether I got a mouth or not. You didn't complain about that, do you? Well, in the same way, you got your spiritual characteristics or DNA from Adam. That's why the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. To his own way. Here's Nicodemus, or here's not Nicodemus, that's who I talked to you last time, but here is, it's Nicodemus. Here's Nicodemus. He shows up on planet Earth, born into the natural world. Or he's born in the natural world. He's bound to the sinful world. But he's also blind to the spiritual world. Did you notice there that he said, unless you're born again, you cannot see? He's blind. Again, that's how we all show up here, blind. Blind to this world. That's why Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he writes and he says that the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So now certainly Nicodemus was a very intellectual and a religious and a moral man. He was the cream of the cream. He was a member of the 1 out of 71 of all of Israel, who was a ruler of the Jews, a member of the Sanhedrin. Even later in verse 10, when in your Bible it said he was the master, the implication there, it says, in some translation says, Jesus says, are you the teacher? The implication is that Nicodemus may have been the premier teacher of all Judaism at that time. And yet, in all of his learning, Jesus still said, you're blind to this spiritual world. And I want to tell you, and I know I need to keep moving here, but I want to tell you, with all of your learning and all of your education and religious upbringing, you will never understand spiritual things until the Holy Spirit turns the light on. Comes into your life and turns the light on. Because naturally, we're all blind to this world. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, by nature, the God of this world has blinded the eyes of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. So there's the sinner's birth. There's the natural birth. That's what's true of all of us. But there is a second birth here, and that Jesus talked about, and it was his own birth. It was the Savior's birth. That's what Christmas is all about the Savior coming into the world, being born to save sinners. Now you see there in the text, you're looking there in John 3, verse 2. Nicodemus says to Jesus, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher sent from God. Now truly, Jesus is a teacher sent by God, but he's more than that. He is God sent to teach. And he is God in an earth suit of human flesh. We sang a little while ago, Oh Come All Ye Faithful. That verse there, it said, Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. And that's the reason later here in the conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus. He said in verse 13, He said, no one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. This is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And he's talking about himself. He's talking about Christmas. He's talking about his own birth. Verse 14, he goes on to say, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And he's talking about his death now. That whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave. He gave his only begotten Son. He's referencing an Old Testament prophetic words of Isaiah. You know them perhaps. In Isaiah 9 and verse 6, where he said, For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is what? Is given. The child is born, but the son is given. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So Jesus. Jesus is virgin born. And by the way, the virgin birth, is it just incidental? Is it mythical? Well, no, but it's ultimate foundational truth to all that we as Christians believe and hold. To take away the virgin birth of Jesus, and you have robbed the heart and soul out of Christianity. Isaiah said that a virgin would conceive and bear a son, and we would call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And Jesus now is talking with Nicodemus about that, and he's talking about not only the natural birth, but about his own birth, and he says, God gave him. He came, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And so why did Jesus come into the world? Well, he came. He came to give us eternal life. But listen, if he had not been virgin born, he couldn't do that. If he'd not been born of a virgin, if he'd been born in a natural birth only, he couldn't have done, because then he would have received from Adam the spiritual characteristics of Adam, of an independent spirit. And he couldn't have died for our sins. If he had Adam's nature, he couldn't be a perfect sacrifice. And if he couldn't be a perfect sacrifice, then he couldn't have died a perfect death. And if he could have died for our sin, then he couldn't have been raised supremely from the dead. And if he couldn't have been raised from the dead, then as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, our faith is futile and we're still in our sins. But he was born of a virgin. And he did not inherit the sinful nature of Adam in his humanity, because he was brought about by the Father. And so you see, he came as he did, born of a virgin, to be what he was, sinless. He was what he was, sinless, in order to do what he did, to die for us. He did what he did in dying for us so he could give us what he had himself, his life, so that we might become what we are, spirit-born daughters and sons of God. So he became a son of man that I might become a son of God. He came to earth so I might go to heaven. He was born a virgin so that I might be born again. He was born once so that I might be born twice. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, we talked about the natural birth. We talked about what's true of all of us. We're born into this natural world. We're bound to the sinful world, and we're blind to the spiritual world. That's depressing. But there's good news. And we talked about the virgin birth, the Savior's birth, that he came into the world to save sinners. But let's talk about the second birth, the new birth. Jesus said in verse 7, don't marvel, don't be surprised that I said to you personally, Nicodemus, must be born again. Now, did you notice there? He didn't say it was just a good idea. You might think about it. No, he said you must be born again. It's a prerequisite that we be born again. And yet, what does it mean to be born again? What does it mean to be born again? That's a phrase that the church used to use. As I travel around, you don't hear very many people talking about being born again. We used to say, are you a born again Christian? That's redundant, by the way. You can't be a Christian without being born again. It means the same thing. But we used to say that, right? Back in the 1970s, when I was just getting started in my pastoral ministries, we talked to people about being born again. What does it mean? What means to be infused with a second giving of life? To be infused with life again. A second time. To be given that life. Now, here in the text, Jesus takes natural birth and he uses it to illustrate spiritual birth. Now, we all understand something about natural birth. We know that's how we all got here. But let's think about it. What's the correlation? You know, in natural birth, there is a conception that takes place. The bringing together of all that is necessary to create a child within the womb. So there's a conception. What's the conception in the new birth, the spiritual birth? Well, it's the Word of God and the Spirit of God coming together in the womb of faith, and new life comes about. As the Word of God, as you hear about the living, breathing Word of God, Jesus. He's the Word, by the way, that doesn't return void. It's Him. It's Jesus. He's that Word that Isaiah was talking about. It's Him that won't return void. As you hear about the Word of God, and the Spirit of God takes that, and then all of a sudden there is faith in that, new life begins. Now, not only is it a conception, but there's a creation of a new life. Parents don't manufacture babies. They create something that's new. That a new life that wasn't there before. That's why Paul in Corinthians says, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creation or creature. Old things are passed away. What things have passed away? That old sinful in Adam DNA that was dead to God. That spirit passed away, and behold, all things now have become new. So there's a conception, there's a creation, but there's also a completion. There's a completion that takes place in the new birth, meaning it's finished. It's a once and for all birth. Now, that was true in the physical realm, right? Any of you ever born twice physically? Did any of you get born twice physically? Have you ever met anybody that was born twice physically? If you have, bring them to me. I'd like to meet them. No one has ever been born twice physically. Well, no one is ever born twice spiritually either. Nowhere in Scripture, as far as I know, can you ever find that anyone was ever saved twice. Now, I certainly know there were times in my own life as I grew up that I disappointed my parents, I let them down, they had to correct me, but I'm a Hodson by birth, and nothing will ever change that. I was born a Hodson by natural birth, and listen, I will die a Hodson physically. That's who I am. Now, you could change my name if you want. You could call me by anything else that you want, but I'm still Hodson. I still am a Hodson, and I always will be a Hodson. Now, the same is true in the spiritual realm. You cannot unbirth me once I'm born again. You cannot unchange me. You know why? Because it's complete. It's complete. Now, you want a verse for that? It's complete. Colossians, if I can find it here. Colossians 2. Verses 9 and 10. And Colossians 2, verse 9, it says, for in him, that is in Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you as a believer, are complete in him. You got everything you need in Jesus Christ. Now all you need is time and nourishment to grow in the person that you are. All you need is time and nourishment. You got everything at the new birth. You don't need more. You just need to take a hold of what you got and let it grow. That's what you need. So there is a conception. There is a creation. There is a completion. Oh, there will be a commencement someday. But there is a certainty. There's a certainty. I suppose if I were to ask you, are you certain that you were born physically? You all will say, yeah, I was born physically. I wouldn't be here if I wasn't born physically. There's a certainty about being born physically, right? Is it arrogant for me to say that my birthday was on December the 1st? And that I was born 70 years ago, last Friday? Is it boastful for me to say I know I was born physically? And yet for people think if I say I know I've been born spiritually, they say that's arrogance. How do you know that you're going to go to heaven for sure? How do you know you're a child of God for sure? Well, just in the same way I know that I was born physically. You know, our brother John writes in 1 John, He writes, "And these things have I written unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know." Not just surmise, not just hope, but know that you have eternal life. You see, when we receive eternal life, it's not a question mark, it's an exclamation point. I received it. I know that I've been saved. I know that I am. And let me say this. You don't have to remember when you're saved or when you were born again. For I don't think any of us necessarily remember the day of our physical birth, but we know we've been born physically. And the same is with the spiritual birth. You don't necessarily have to know when it occurred, but you have to know it did occur. As a matter of fact, there isn't a single verse in all of the Bible that says we have to know when it happened. Not one. And as a matter of fact, the Bible never tells us to look back at a past experience. You know, the Bible doesn't say he who believed, past tense, is saved. But the Bible says, he who believes, present tense, is saved. Now, I'm not saying there wasn't a time or there wasn't an experience when we were saved, but the important thing is not the time or the experience. The important thing is the fact that we have come to Christ and we receive new life. And that we enjoy his life not just someday yonder in eternity, but right now. Because when did you get eternal life? When do you get it? The moment you believe. I do a whole lot of funerals, work at a lot of funerals, working at Elliott's. I hear these people say, oh, they were ushered into eternal life at their deaths. No. You know when I was ushered into eternal life? When I was a young person. And when I put my faith and trust in Jesus, that he died for me, and he was buried for me, and he rose again for me so I could have life. And I got it right there. And you know what? For the last 50-some years, I've been walking in eternal life. I've been living in eternal life. Because I experienced a new birth, a spiritual birth. So there are three miracle births. The natural birth, we've all experienced that one, right? The Savior's birth, we're celebrating that one. We're celebrating that he became a man and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But the question is, have you experienced the second birth? Have you personally been infused with another giving of life? Has there been a spiritual conception in your life when the Word of God and the Spirit of God met in the womb of faith? And created a brand new life. For God so loved the world that he gave Christmas. He gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, Father, thank you. Thank you for the miracle of birth, a physical life that we're here, of your life that you came, and that we can experience a new life, set free from this life that we were born with spiritually, so we can live an eternal life. In your name, amen.
Thank you, brother. Probably won't look at brothers in the same way again, will we? That's good. All right, our chorus this morning is found in number 85. Let's stand and sing that quickly, and then we have one more part of the service we're going to do yet before we leave. So let's sing that chorus. We might know that by heart even already. Come, let us adore him.
Ooh.